Chapter 70. Kutuzov, 'tis well. So perish Russia's enemies. Exeunt Kutuzov, his staff, and the detachment of horse in the direction of Wilna, and with the advance of day the snow resumes its fall, slowly burying the dead bivouacers. Scene Zaya, Paris. The Tuileries, an antecomer to the Empress Marie-Louise's bedroom, at 11:30 on a December night. The Duchess of Montebello and another lady-in-waiting are discovered talking to the Empress. Marie-Louise, I have felt unapt for anything tonight, and I will now retire. She goes into her child's room adjoining. Duchess of Montebello, for some long, while there has come no letter from the Emperor, and Paris brims with ghastly rumorings about the far campaign. Not being beloved, the town is overdull for her alone. Re-enter Marie-Louise. Marie-Louise, the King of Rome is sleeping in his cot sweetly and safe. Now, ladies, I am going. She withdraws. Her tiring women pass through into her chamber. They presently return and go out. A manservant enters, and bars the window shutters with numerous bolts. Exit manservant. The Duchess retires. The other lady-in-waiting rises to go into her bedroom, which adjoins that of the Empress. Men's voices are suddenly heard in the corridor without. The lady-in-waiting pauses with parted lips. The voices grow louder. The lady-in-waiting screams. Marie-Louise hastily re-enters in a dressing gown thrown over her night clothes. Marie-Louise, great God, what altercation can that be? I had just verged on sleep when it aroused me. A thumping is heard at the door. Voice of Napoleon, without, hola. Pray let me in. Unlock the door. Lady-in-waiting, heaven's mercy on us. What man may it be at such, and hour as this? Marie-Louise, oh it is he. The lady-in-waiting unlocks the door. Napoleon enters, scarcely recognizable, in a fur cloak and hood over his ears. He throws off the cloak, and discloses himself to be in the shabbiest and muddiest attire. Marie-Louise is agitated almost to fainting. Spirit ironic, is it with fright or joy? Marie-Louise, I scarce believe what my sight tells me. Home, and in such garb. Napoleon embraces her. Napoleon, I have had great work in getting in, my dear. They failed to recognize me at the gates, being skeptical at my poor hackney coach and poor baggage. I had to show my face in a fierce light ere they would let me pass, and even then they doubted till I spoke. What think you, dear, of such a tramp-like spouse?
He warms his hands at the fire.
Hot is much more comfortable here than on the Russian plains. Marie-Louise, timidly, you have suffered there? Your face is thinner, and has line in it. No marvel that they did not know you. Napoleon, yes. Disasters many and swift have swooped on me. Since crossing Ugg, the Beresina River, I have been compelled to come incognito, as a fugitive and outlaw quite. Marie-Louise, we'll thank heaven, anyhow, that you are safe. I had gone to bed, and everybody almost. What, now, do require? Some food, of course?
The child in the adjoining chamber begins to cry, awakened by the loud tones of Napoleon.
Napoleon, ah, that's his little voice. I'll in and see him. Marie-Louise, I'll come with you.
Napoleon and the Empress pass into the other room. The lady-in-waiting calls up yawning servants and gives orders. The servants go to execute them. Re-enter Napoleon and Marie-Louise. The lady-in-waiting goes out.
Napoleon, I have said it, dear. All the disasters summed in the bulletin shall be repaired. Marie-Louise, and are they terrible? Napoleon, have you not read the last sent bulletin, dear friend? Marie-Louise, no recent bulletin has come. Napoleon, ah, I must have outstripped it on the way. Marie-Louise, and where is the Grand Army? Napoleon, oh, that's gone. Marie-Louise, gone? But gone where? Napoleon, gone all to nothing, dear.
Marie-Louise, incredulously,
but some 600,000 I saw pass through Dresden Russia wards? Napoleon,
flinging himself into a chair, Well, those men lie most of them in layers of bleaching bones twixt here and Moscow. I have been subdued, but by the elements, and them alone. Not Russia, but God's sky has conquered me.
With an appalled look she sits beside him.
From the sublime to the ridiculous there's but a step. I have been saying it all through the leagues of my long journey home, and that step has been passed in this affair. Yes, briefly, it is quite ridiculous, whichever way you look at it. Ha, ha.
Marie-Louise, simply, but those 600,000 throbbing throats that cheered me deaf at Dresden, marching east so full of youth, and spirits all bleached bones ridiculous?
Can it be so, dear, to their mothers say?
Napoleon, with a twitch of displeasure, you scarcely understand.
I meant the enterprise, and not its stuff. I had no wish to fight, nor Alexander, but circumstance impaled us each on each. The genius who outshapes my destinies did all the rest. Had I but hit success, imperial splendor would have worn a crown unmatched in long scrolled time.
Well, leave that now. What do they know about all this in Paris?
Marie Louse, I cannot say. Black rumors fly and croak like ravens through the streets, but come to me thin to the vague. Occurrences in Spain breed much disquiet with these other things. Marmont's defeat at Salamanca field plowed deep into men's brows. The cafe say your troops must clear from Spain.
Napoleon, we'll see to that.
I'll find a way to do a better thing, though I must have another army first. 300,000 quite. Fishes as good swim in the sea as have come out of it. But to begin, we must make sure of France, disclose ourselves to the good folk of Paris and daily outing as a family group, the type and model of domestic bliss,
which, by the way, we are,
and I intend, also, to gild the dome of the Invalides in best gold leaf, and on a novel pattern.
Marie-Louise, to gild the dome, dear?
Why?
Napoleon, to give them something to think about. They'll take to it like children, and argue in the cafes right and left on its artistic points. So they'll forget the woes of Moscow.
A chamberlain in waiting announces supper.
Marie-Louise and Napoleon go out. The room darkens and the scene closes.
Act second, scene at the Plain of Vittoria. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.